We're going to be looking at chapter 15. And again, I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but I will be pulling out verses as I go through the message. What we're going to see in chapter 15, typically I don't have a title for my message, but if there was a theme, I would just call it Growing Pains. And so we're going to kind of look at that today. A problem developed, and we see that there's this issue. Not even moving. Wow. Maybe I just need to stand perfectly still. It's going to be hard for me not to move. We see this issue, and this issue is the message of salvation. Yeah, let's do that. Because some people came and said it's more than that. When Paul and Barnabas were out on their first journey, they were saying to the people, and I quote from Acts 13, verses 38 through 39, that you have the forgiveness of sins by faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died and rose again. Whoever believes in him, and he turns a life and his forgiveness of sins. Well, then somebody comes with a different message. And if you look at chapter 15, look at verse 1. So some men came down from Judea and began teaching the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. But they came in and said, you have to come under the law of Moses to be saved. In fact, you had to be circumcised. And so it's just not faith, it's actually works. You've got to keep the law in order to be saved. And we know from the Bible, believe on the Lord Jesus and you shall be saved. So here's an issue. And of course, you know what happened, verse 2, when Paul and Barnabas had great dissension and debate with him, the brethren determined that Paul and Barnabas and some others, they should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and the elders concerning this issue. Paul and Barnabas said, no, you don't keep the law of Moses. The Gentiles don't have to become Jews to be saved. Nobody has to come under the law. In fact, Jewish people never kept the law. The bottom line is, it's just faith in Christ, where they argued over. So they decided they would go to Jerusalem and try to settle this issue. Now we see that there are those who say salvation is by faith alone, and that's Paul and Barnabas. And then there's another group, verse 5, it says, but some of the sect of the Pharisees who had believed these people, who were believers, stood up saying, it's necessary to circumcise them and to direct them to observe the law of Moses. So they came together to deal with this issue. And why is it so important? Because Paul says in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God. Salvation to everyone who believes. We find in the Bible that salvation is by faith, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. So that is the issue. We saw Peter stood up and talked, and he says that the Jews are saved the same as the Gentiles by faith. Barnabas and Paul got up and talked, and then James got up. And by the way, if you look at verse 11, this is what Peter said. We believe that Jews are saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus in the same way as they are. He says we're saved the same as the Gentiles by faith. When it was all said and done, James stood up and he said this in verse 19, therefore, it's my judgment that we do not trouble those who are turning to God from among the Gentiles in other words, we don't put works on these people. We don't tell people that they have to do good works to be saved, and we're telling them it's just faith alone in Christ alone. And then they decided something, because remember, Jews and Gentiles, if they're going to be in the same body, they're not the same. They had a whole different background and upbringing. The Jews did certain things certain ways, and the Gentiles did certain things certain ways. In fact, there were things that Gentiles did that Jews said, we don't like that at all. So here's what they decided to do. Notice in verse 20, it says, but to write to them that they abstain from things contaminated by idols, from fornication, from what is strangled, and from blood. And then look at verse 22. It seemed good to the apostles and the elders and the whole church to choose men from among them to send to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. Judas, who was also named Barnabas, and Silas, leading men among the brethren. Now you remember that the church in Antioch had this trouble. Paul and Barnabas came down. If Paul and Barnabas came back by themselves and said, hey, that's just faith alone in Christ, they would have said, how do we know that's right? You could have just gone in there and came back. So they send two other men with Paul and Barnabas, leading men in the church. And let's see, in verse 23, they sent this letter by them, the apostles and the brethren, who are elders to the brethren in Antioch and Syria, Cilicia, greetings. And so hear what it says. Since we heard that some of our number to whom we gave no instructions have disturbed you with their words, unsettling your souls. He said, we heard some people went up there and began to bother you by telling you a message. And they're saying, we didn't send them up there to tell you, you have to keep the law. They were sent, they were not sent, without our blessing. Notice it says that it unsettled your soul. When the message is incorrect, it can cause a lot of confusion. When you tell people it's something other than faith in Christ, people get confused. Whenever you use works, you can never have assurance with faith. With faith there is assurance, and with works there's not assurance. For example, if I said to you, good works, you have to do good works to be saved, then the next question is going to be, well, how many good works, or for how long do I have to do works for the rest of my life? Do I have to do them for like 6 months? I mean, how do you know if you're saved if it goes back to works? You can never have assurance with works. But when it's by faith in Jesus Christ, 1 John 5:13, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. You can know that you have eternal life when it's by faith in Christ. You can have assurance. When it's by your works, you can never have assurance. So look what they're going to say in verse 25. It seemed good to us, having become one mind, to select men to send to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who had risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's true, Barnabas and Paul had risked their lives for Jesus. I mean, they went to these towns. They went there, told people about Christ. Some people believed. Some people didn't. They beat them. They threw them in jail. They ran them out of town. They risked their lives for Christ. Look what happened. So he said, therefore, we have sent two men, Judas and Silas, who themselves will report the same thing by word of mouth. They said, we're going to send these two men who will tell you the same thing that's written in the letter. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these essentials. Now, what they're saying is this. This is not man's message. It's the Holy Spirit's message. This is from God. We're not putting any other burden on you other than these four things, and this has nothing to do with salvation. Salvation is by faith. These four things were about how do you get along, or how do the Gentiles and the Jews get along in the church? There's some things that you do that really bother Jewish people. And so we're asking you Gentiles who are becoming Christians, if you're going to be able to fellowship in one body, we're going to ask you, would you not do these four things? Now, this has nothing to do with salvation. Again, this is how we will relate to the Jewish believers so as to not offend them. So what are the four things? Verse 29, that you would abstain from things sacrificed to idols, from blood and from things strangled and from fornication. If you keep yourself free from such things, you will do well. Farewell. Jewish people, if you ever offer a sacrifice, it's to the true God, only one God. For the Gentiles, they come out of a culture that there were gods for everything. You could go down to the marketplace, and it was food there, meat, and it had been offered to idols, and you could buy it cheaply. Believing Gentiles said, that meat's nothing. I'm going to get a good price for it, and I'm going to get it, and I'm going to eat it. And they said, don't do that. Just stay away from the idols, because that really bothers the Jews. Second, don't eat or drink blood, because going all the way back in the Jewish book, back to Genesis, written by Moses, there's life in the blood, and God said, don't drink the blood. And some Gentiles, as practice, pagan practice, drank blood. So he said, don't do it. And the third thing is strangled. What does that mean? That was where they killed animals, and they would eat the animals without draining the blood. Draining the blood out, and since the life is in the blood, Jewish people don't do that. Gentiles say, it doesn't matter. He said, please don't do that. It would bother Jewish people. And last but not least is fornication. We should think that it simply meant, we shouldn't think that it simply meant sex outside of marriage, which all Christians, Jew or Gentile, recognized as wrong. Instead, James told the Gentiles living in such close fellowship with the Jewish believers to observe the specific marriage regulations required by Leviticus 18, which prohibited marriages between most family members. This was something that offended the Jews, but most Gentiles would think little of it. Gentile Christians had the right to eat meat sacrificed to idols, to continue their marriage practices, and to eat food without kosher bleeding. Because there were aspects of the Mosaic law, they definitely were not under that. However, they were encouraged to lay down their rights in these matters as a display of love for their Jewish brethren. Though they were not bound by the law of Moses, they were bound by the law of love. The law of love told them, don't unnecessarily antagonize your Jewish neighbors, both in and out of the church. If you keep yourself from such things, you do really well. Interestingly, circumcision was not mentioned in the list. They did not go ahead and get circumcised so you won't offend people. No, because they didn't want them to say you had to do these good works. And now they just said, listen, don't offend Jews by doing these four things. Well, look what happened. So they sent away. They came down to Antioch, and having gathered the congregation together, they delivered the letter. And when they read the letter aloud, they rejoiced because of its encouragement. Grace always brings joy. When you're under the law, you're under some works system. First of all, the natural bent for all of us, if we're human, is anytime you're told not to do something, what do you want to do? You automatically want to do it. That's your flesh. The law system puts you under that. The grace system does not put you under that. Whenever you grasp grace, there's joy. It's so wonderful, in fact, grace brings joy. That's what is the best way to bring frustration is bondage and the law. So look what happened. When they read it, they rejoiced because of its encouragement. They went, yes, we knew it wouldn't be the law. We knew it was faith. Judas and Silas, also being prophets themselves, encouraged and strengthened the brethren, notice, with a lengthy message. They were making sure they understood what this thing was all about. And it goes on to say they spent time and they were sent away from the brethren in peace to those who had been sent and had sent them out. but it seemed good to Silas to remain there. Now, when they get ready to leave, Judas and Silas were supposed to go back. And they said, thank you for all coming. Appreciate you making the trip. Thanks for the letter. We got Paul and Barnabas. We're happy. Thank you so much. But Silas decides to stay, and we'll see what difference that makes here in a little bit. Look at what they're doing. Paul and Barnabas stayed in Antioch, teaching and preaching with many others. Also the word of the Lord. Now let me tell you what they were doing. The word teaching, of course, means to communicate truth, the word. And preaching literally means evangelism. It means sharing the faith. And see, that's what we're supposed to do, make disciples. What is discipleship? Evangelism, training, sharing our faith, and then training and equipping people. That's exactly what Paul and Barnabas were doing. They were teaching, helping, train people. They were proclaiming the good news, helping people come to know God. And it says, when many others, also the word of the Lord, notice that emphasis is always on the word of the Lord. Verse 36. After some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us return and visit the brethren in every city in which we proclaim the word of the Lord. And let's see how they're doing. He says, let's go back to the churches that we went to. This took some guts, right? Because what happened to them? The last time they were there, one group stoned them and left them for dead. Other groups ran them out of town. And over again, they had gone through and tried to strengthen the believers. That's in Acts 14. Now Paul says to Barnabas, let's go back and see how they're doing. Sometimes we do this. We might actually talk to someone about Christ, lead them to Christ. And we go, wow, that's fantastic. You're a Christian. And then we walk away. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to make disciples, which is evangelism and training. So we're not just supposed to say, you know, Christ, congratulations. We're supposed to say, you know, now that you know Christ, let's help you grow. That's what Paul wants to do. He says, let's go back through these cities. Let's see how they're doing. Let's help them. Let's help these people grow in Christ. And moving on in verse 37, Barnabas wanted to take John, called Mark, along with them. Do you remember this John Mark? Way back in the very early part of the book of Acts, when Peter was thrown into prison and this prayer meeting was held in this home, it was John Mark's mother's house. So John Mark, what we find out, is actually a cousin of Barnabas. And in Colossians chapter 4, verse 10 tells us that. So this is Barnabas. This is his cousin. And on the first trip, they said, let's go. And they left and they went to the island. If you remember, they went to the island. They went up to Pamphylia. And when they got there, all the scripture says, when they got to Pamphylia, John Mark went back home. That's all it says. It doesn't say he got mad, he got sad, or got scared, didn't say anything, he just left. We don't have an explanation. So now they're getting ready to go to the second trip, and Barnabas says, let's take John, called Mark, with us. But Paul kept insisting they should not take him along, who had deserted them in Pamphylia. And they were not going with them to the word, but Paul says, I don't think so. Paul kept insisting not to take John Mark with him. You can almost see Barnabas going, you know, I'm the encourager. I know John Mark kind of messed up at the start, but let's get John Mark going. Let's take him. And Paul, who's Mr. Straight-laced, says, no, I don't think so. Thanks for asking, but we're not going to take him because I'm the leader of this, and I'm going to take him, and I'm not going to take him because I'm, you know, a type A personality, and I'm going to do what I'm going to do, and we're not going to take him on the trip. And Barnabas says, well, we got to love everybody and take care of everybody, and no matter what anybody does, just love them. And Paul says, no, there's an order and a system for everything. And we, so Paul kept insisting that he would not take him along, who had deserted them previously in Pamphylia. And then I'm going to get them to work. So you have these two great men of God. They have two different kinds of personalities, two different ways of looking at things. And look what happened. There occurred such a sharp disagreement that they separated from one another, and Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left, being committed to the Lord, to by the brother and to the grace of the Lord. There was a split. And sometimes we say two Christians and they get in their kind of argument or fight, and we say, okay, I'm not going to have anything to do with you anymore. I'm not going to do this or do that. And we say that's bad. And it says, Barnabas took John Mark and he went to Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas. They're going to go in a different direction. And we say, what a sad thing. Let me tell you what this is to us. And it doesn't matter how mature we are. It doesn't matter if you're an apostle in this case. Sometimes there's going to be disagreements. Sometimes we might not get along with each other. There's sometimes those things happen, and here's this great man of Barnabas who was determined, and here's this great man of Paul who insisted, and they divided. And we say that was a bad thing, but God is going to turn it for good. Let me show you one. Because think about this. Now there's two groups going out from the church, not just one. And Paul is going to go when he's going to take Silas with him. And he's going to get Luke and he's going to get Timothy on this trip. And you're going to gain more as he goes. But Barnabas takes John Mark, goes to a safer place, to the island of Cyprus, and he becomes faithful and trustworthy, because later Paul writes and says, bring John Mark, who is faithful in the ministry. John Mark probably didn't need to travel with Paul, but needed to travel with Barnabas. And not everybody fits everybody. You remember when Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery, and he ends up being the second in command of Egypt, and his brothers after came to him and they were all upset and they said, yeah, I think you're going to get us back now for what we did. And he said, no, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. God takes every situation, no matter what it is, and he can use it for good. A year and a half ago, there wasn't this church where it is now in the book of Acts. God took something bad and made something good. I want to give you a couple of applications from this chapter. The first one is the gospel. The gospel is very simple. Christ died on the cross, paid for our sin, rose again, and whoever believes in him will never perish but have everlasting life. Salvation is by faith alone and Christ alone. Salvation is in the person of Christ. It's not in works, our goodness, or anything. It's faith alone and Christ alone. Second, be careful not to offend fellow believers. They said, please try not to offend the Jews. Just try to live in such a way that we're bringing people together, not pulling people apart. Live in such a way that we're building each other up. You know, this, as a fellow believer, the world is bad enough. The world is going to try and tear you down. We don't need each other tearing each other down. So what we need to do is build each other up. The third thing is keep the focus on the Word of God. That's the bottom line. Our purpose is to make disciples. That's evangelism and training, and to keep the focus on the message from the Word of God. Keep the focus on teaching the Word of God to help people grow. I want to end by giving you something to think about and to consider. It was once said, every Christian, every disciple, every follower of Christ needs three relationships. And I want you to grade yourself as to how you're doing on these. This person said, everybody needs a Paul, some mentor, someone who inspires their faith, meets with them, inspires them in the things of the faith. Then he said, everybody needs a Barnabas, because we all need encouragement. You feel down. I'm not going to make it. I want to quit. The Lord can't use me anymore. I messed up. You have somebody go, oh yes, you can, because he can. Let's get up and try again. And then everybody needs a Timothy. That person that they can pour their life into, pour themselves into, and help shape someone's future. So evaluate how you're doing in those three relationships. Who is your Paul? Who is your Barnabas? Who's your Timothy? And on the flip side of that same coin, are you somebody's Paul? Are you somebody's Barnabas or Timothy? Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the story in Acts 15. We thank you that the apostles and the leaders fought for doctrine, that they set the record straight through the leading of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Lord, help us, for there will be times when we have disagreements with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Help us to be a Paul to someone, to be a Barnabas, to be a Timothy. Help us to keep the main thing the main thing. Help us to share your love, your grace, your mercy, and your will for each of our lives. Help us keep the focus on Jesus, on you. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you are in need of prayer, the elders will be up here and we would be honored to pray with you. You are dismissed, and the pizza is here.